Let's join together in prayer. Thanks for joining us. Heavenly Father, we want to hear your voice. This is our prayer through Christ. Amen. As we record this today, we are at the beginning of a series of messages from the Beatitudes, Jesus' introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. We've said the Beatitudes are a way for us to see what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Some people wonder, if I follow Jesus, what can I expect? If I follow Jesus, what does it look like to grow? And Jesus gives us kind of a step-by-step process of what it looks like and what to expect. Chew on this, though. When you read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, what is your reaction to it? As you read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, how do you feel? What's your thought afterward? We'll come back to that in a second. As I said, the Beatitudes are kind of the series of blessings of what it means to follow Christ. Blessed are the, in other words, you live this way, you're going to live a life underneath God's blessing. You position yourself under God's blessing. Does that mean you're going to be wealthy and always healthy? No, but it means no matter what your condition, you are going to be you're going to be in the most blessed condition possible because you're going to be in right relationship with God. If you want to be transformed to be like Jesus, these are the steps that you follow. And the first step we said is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We said Jesus is not talking about being financially poor or educationally poor or relationally poor. He's saying, blessed are the spiritually poor, those who admit their absolute dependence on God. We talked about, we have to admit our absolute dependence on God's wisdom, not our own. We are absolutely committed to God's power, depending on God's power and not our own. In other words, the first step to being genuinely changed by God is to admit we can't change on our own, but God can. We can't, God can. That means, as we said in the message, we are saved by grace, not by law. We're saved by grace, God working in us, not just by a legalistic, rule-keeping behavior approach to change. That means we don't change just by bare-knuckling, trying, I'm gonna try. Kind of like a marathon runner trying to run a marathon the first time when they've never run half a mile ever. No matter how hard you try, you're not gonna be able to do it. It comes by training, as God changes us on the inside out. We didn't take time to read the entire section, actually, from Titus 2:11. Let me read it now. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. The grace of God that saves us is also the grace of God that transforms us. It instructs us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts. Grace, you see, is not just an it, it's also a power. Grace forgives us, but it's also the power of God to transform us, to sustain us. While we wait, verse 13, for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us, to transform us from all lawlessness, to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Grace changes us because it changes our view of ourselves. We are Jesus' possession. We're owned by, we're family of God, children of God. And therefore, we're eager to do good works out of relationship with him. Real change comes because by his grace, he changes our identity. The old identity was sinful, failure, condemned. Our new identity is child of God, righteous in Christ, redeemed by Jesus. Now, why do we do what we do? I didn't have time to share these concentric circles, and so I'm going to share them now. We'll get them to see in a diagram. I think the one way of looking at how we change and why we do what we do is we see four concentric circles. The outer circle is behavior, what we do. The next circle is attitude, how we think, how we feel. The next circle is belief, what we believe, what our core convictions. And the inner circle is worldview. How do you see the world? How do you see God? How do you see yourself? How do you see right and wrong? Religion tries to change by focusing on behavior, 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 behavior. But God changes us by changing the heart, changing our view of Him. Not by trying alone, but by trusting who He is. And when we trust who He is, we really believe what He tells us, that His word is true, that His word is good, that He is faithful, that He's leading us down paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and it brings us peace, that His truth brings us freedom. You see, if you try to change your behavior without changing what's at the heart, your worldview, your beliefs, your attitudes, then eventually something has to change. You can't live in that cognitive dissonance, and usually what happens is people just go back to their old behaviors. How do you become a more generous person? Religion says, just do it. It'll make you feel good. But if your behavior changes and your heart doesn't, you'll go back to your old ways. If you start tithing first 10% and all of a sudden you find out it's not working so well, you can't buy the things you used to buy, you can't live the way you used to live, you're going to have to hold on to your car longer. Then all of a sudden you say, well, I don't like that. This is working for me. And you're going to go back. Why? Because at the core, you don't really believe that all things are owned by God. At the core, you don't really believe that God has His best, your best in mind. At the core, you don't really believe that you can depend on God and not your money. As long as you believe that you depend on your money, as long as you have a scarcity mentality rather than God will abundantly provide for you all things that you need, you're going to go back to the old behaviors of depending on your money. We only change in generosity when the heart, you see, is changed by grace. And so it says, Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession, eager to do good works. Blessed are the poor in spirit means that every day I say, God, I can't change myself. God, help. By Your grace, give me power. But that's hard to do. More common is the man who came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. A rich man, a very good rich man, came to Jesus one time and he asked Him the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I'm not sure if it's fair to focus on this or not, but it seems to me that he's asking for a behavioral approach. Jesus, I want what You have, eternal life. But what do we need to do? What behavioral stuff do I need to add, change, so I can have this thing that You have? You hear the focus. It's an outward focus, behavioral focus. Jesus challenges his attitude. He starts to go to his heart. Jesus asks, what do you say? What do you call me good? God alone is good. You know the commandments. And then Jesus rips off a few of the commandments. And the young man responds, teacher, he's still focused on the behavior. I've kept all those commandments from my youth. This young man felt like he was a pretty good person. I kept the rules. And because he's wealthy, he's assuming that's another sign that I must be a really good person because I have money. God blesses, only blesses people, you know, who have money. His problem is that his confidence is in himself. What must I do? Not God. He thinks he can change by his own efforts. Again, Jesus goes to the heart. The heart of this man trusts two things, his good behavior and his money. Jesus realizes there needs to be, if his life is really going to be changed, if he really wants the eternal kingdom, if he really wants the blessedness of being under God's hand of blessing, his heart has to change. And so Jesus goes to the heart and he says, one thing you lack, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, Jesus doesn't say this because he wants the man's money. He knows the man is trusting in his own goodness, not on God's grace. And he's trusting in his money, not on God's provision. He's got a worldview problem, got a belief problem. So Jesus says, what you lack is not behavioral. What you lack is a right heart. Surrender everything to God. Depend on God's grace completely. Live for God's kingdom from the heart, not just using God's kingdom so that you can have the life that you want. Mark 10:22 says the man was dismayed by this demand and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. He walked away sad because he could not imagine a life where he does not depend on his own goodness and his own money. He wasn't ready for heart change. The disciples see this and they panic. They say, if that guy can't be saved, who can be saved? Because they looked at that guy. He has all the marks of somebody who's in the kingdom. He obeys the commands and God's given him money. He's got, obviously this guy is good with God. If that guy can't make the kingdom in his behavior with his externals, who can? And Jesus comes back and he says, with man, it's impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God. When Jesus asks this young man about the commands, you know what this man should have responded? He should have said, you know what, Jesus, I've tried to keep the commands, but what I've discovered is I can't keep the commands perfectly. I need God's power if I'm going to keep the commands perfectly. Instead, he was like, I've kept them all on my own. He was self-righteous. You see, the point of the Old Testament law is not to make us good. The point of the Old Testament law, other than to show us right and wrong, is to show us that we can't be perfect. It's just show us how unrighteous we really are. It's to point out how desperate we really are for God's grace. I asked the question earlier. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, what is your response? So often you read Jesus' sermon and you think, well, okay, I need to keep that command. I need to do that. I need to obey that. I can work on that. I'm going to work on that. And individually, I'm not saying that that reaction is completely wrong, but the cumulative effect of listening to the Sermon on the Mount can't be, I need to be a better person by obeying those things. The effect, the net effect of the Sermon on the Mount is, I can't do all that. There's no way I can live like that unless God changes me by his power from the inside out. Change my heart. So there's the challenge for us today. What area in your life are you struggling with? What spiritual discipline? What besetting sin? What encumbering habit? What hurt that's hanging on? What if today you just start saying, I can't, God can? Every area of behavior where you feel like you, where you look and you say, I don't measure up to Jesus. I don't measure up to the Bible. What if rather than giving up on that or feeling like you're self-righteous, you just say, God, I can't, except by your grace that forgives me and your grace that empowers me, that changes me from the inside out. And then you read the Bible and depend on God. Then you pray and you depend on God. Then you seek the help of friends, support, accountability, wisdom, depending on God, looking to God through them. And you'll discover, blessed are the poor in spirit, because they say, God, I can't, but you can. Change my heart, O God, make it ever new. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Heavenly Father, we want to change, and I don't know if others are like me, but we're afraid that there are some ways that we never will change. Some ways that we've been stuck, whether it's anxiety or selfishness, or pride. And so, Lord, we surrender it all to you, acknowledging that you are God. You are the God who gave us life. You are the God who raises the dead. And you are the God who can transform us from the inside out. So this week, would you put your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you? Would you put people in our lives? Would you put songs? Would you put whatever we need into our lives? The prompting of your Holy Spirit that shows us the way of escape when tempted. Lord, we thank you that by your grace we are saved. Help us to trust that the Jesus who gives us grace now is working to redeem us day by day. We surrender to you through Christ, we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us.